Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, you spoke this past Sunday, still digitally. We are anxious for that to change, but you spoke on the journey of trust, a very appropriate topic right now.
We were in 1 Kings 17, and we were looking at Elijah, and that one chapter alone, it's just a great chapter that shows God had him going to several places, a divine journey, and how on the surface, a lot of the things just didn't make sense. God sent him, first of all, to a brook, where he said that you'll drink water from this brook and the ravens will come and give you food. And then right after that, the brook dries up and he had to trust God. From there, God sent him to a foreign city and it was 100 miles away, and God was going to send him to a widow, and that widow was going to take care of him. Well, that widow was destitute and discouraged and on her last meal herself. And you'd think that none of this makes sense. But through all this, God was doing things with Elijah, doing miracles that was going to keep things going. And then the widow's son dies, and she kind of blames Elijah. And Elijah wonders himself, you know, why has all these things happened? And through that, God raises this young man. This is the first resurrection in the Bible. And so we were looking at trust. And we wrapped the lesson up by saying God's direction is often hard to understand, and we can't question him. We need to trust him. We see that in the life of Elijah. We said that some days are darker than other days, and we shouldn't give up, and we need to trust him. And we said that God's promises are wrapped around trust and obedience. God told Elijah to do things, and he had to do them. And we cannot ignore what God wants us to do. And sometimes we'll hang our hat on the current situation we're in, saying, well, that just excuses me from not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. It doesn't. And we need to trust God. And then our final point as we wrap the lesson up was that God takes care of us, and we cannot be ungrateful. And we need to remind ourselves we need to trust him in these things.
I think it's valuable to go back to lessons like that journey of trust that Elijah went through, especially during times like this. It was interesting. I saw the other day, every once in a while, you can look into Google Trends, how words or phrases are used over the scope of time. And it was interesting, the use of the word unprecedented has just skyrocketed by thousands of percents in recent months. The use of that word online has seen all sorts of a spike. But by going back and studying examples like Elijah, we begin to see unprecedented is probably a very overrated word to use right now. There have been hard times, difficult times, plagues, diseases, earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars for centuries, right? It may not be what we are used to in this part of the world in the 21st century, but to use unprecedented in our minds times as an excuse to be ungrateful. We can see how easy that is, but that's not what we ought to be as children of God. I appreciated that last point of your sermon, and I thought maybe that would be a good thing to explore today. God takes care of us. Don't be ungrateful. Trust him. Roger, what do you think is the connection between trust and gratitude?
Well, you know, we see that in the life of Elijah. As we went through that story, now, just that one chapter alone shows it so many times. So the birds were taking care of him. There was a brook to drink water out of, but the brook dried up. God took care of him. And then he sent him to a foreign city, which could be very hostile. but God took care of him. There was a widow, and she didn't have anything, but God took care of him. Just over and over and over, we see the blessings of God. When we think of the word ungrateful, it's simply being unthankful. And when one goes down that road of being unthankful, ungrateful, the next things that follow is complaining and becoming bitter and becoming upset and negative. And that just leads us down a whole road of things in which we just feel like life is ugly and things are not the way it should be. And so even in the midst of a storm, even in the midst of a crisis, there are things to be thankful for. You know, we are here at the church building, and it just rained just a few minutes ago. And sometimes we don't like rain, and it ruins our plans. But, you know, if there wasn't any rain, nothing would grow. And so the lesson for today is, how can I be thankful even when the sun is not shining? Now, that's what we need to talk about.
For every Elijah who was grateful in the Bible, there are thousands and thousands of people who were ungrateful, right? One of the easy examples to think of is the children of Israel in the age of the Exodus, right? It's interesting and sad at the same time. You can go back and read Exodus 15. It begins with the song of Moses, this celebratory song of deliverance. They have just miraculously been led on dry ground through the path of the Red Sea. Pharaoh and his army has been destroyed. It is literally the greatest deliverance that they would ever see in their lifetime. And they sing this song in Exodus 15, and we're not even out of the chapter before we read, they grumbled against Moses and said, "What shall we drink?" We literally get a few verses into the next chapter, and we find them grumbling against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, saying, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." How quickly they had forgotten their bitter bondage in Egypt. You know, you're talking about rain. How quickly and easily we can forget how desperately we wanted rain last summer, right?
That's it. Our memories are short. And, of course, a classic New Testament example of the same thing, just mirroring what happened there in Israel, was Jesus healing the 10 lepers. And they cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. He well could have said, "Boys, I've got a mission here. I can't do this." But he healed them all, and only one returned, who was a foreigner, who was a Samaritan. And it's in that context where Jesus says, "Were there not nine?" I often wonder what would happen if Jesus gave their leprosy back to them. I often wonder what would happen if Jesus gave us things. We pray for things, we want things, we get our prayers answered, but do we thank the Lord?
It's a sobering question. And what we need to see as disciples of Jesus is, this is about more than manners, right? I can remember, I'm sure you can remember, on the way to somebody's house, my mom especially rehearsing for us, my brother and I, when we were very little, be sure to say thank you, right? Even if you didn't have the favorite food that you were hoping for, be sure to say thank you. But this is bigger than just having good manners. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, beginning, the Apostle Paul begins to describe difficult times that were coming. And in describing what those difficult times would look like, he says, people are going to be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. grateful. And it's listed in this list with unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. There's some rough, ugly words in that list, but right in the middle, ungrateful.
So this is not like a child who gets a birthday present and he's so excited, he runs off and forgets to say thank you to grandma and grandpa. That's not what this is. This is talking about a character. This is a character flaw. All those words are linked together, and all those words are descriptive of someone who's really just absent of God. And he has God not on his mind, not on his heart. It's not that I forgot to say thankful. It just would never come up. I'm not a thankful person. I want it. I deserve it. I have to have it. But I never realize how important God is.
It's a faith issue, right? That's the breakdown between gratitude and trust. It's also just a spoiled, rotten, selfish issue. The sword of heart that takes and takes and takes and does not appreciate where those undeserved gifts have come from.
Let me share another passage. In Luke 6, verse 35, the Lord says, "But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to the ungrateful and evil men." What a powerful thought that is. People who are receiving blessings from God every day, he's good to them, but they're not good back. They're not thankful back. They're not even acknowledging that these even came from God himself. And those are some things that shows how important this is for us. So when we think about being thankful, how can we be thankful in a storm? How can we be thankful in a pandemic that we're in? There's so many things we cannot do, so many things we have to do where I don't want to stand on the X on the floor in a store, but I must do that. I don't want to wear a mask, but I must wear a mask. I don't want to do this. I don't, you know, and so how easy it is to fall in that ungrateful trap and becoming the complainers and the gripers that we read about and see on Facebook all the time. How do I become thankful, Jason, in the midst of something like this?
The first thing that comes to my mind is I have to slow down and be deliberate. I know in my own life, when I have failed to express thanks as I should, a lot of that has to do with I'm just not paying the attention that I should. I am too fast, too distracted, too focused on the next thing, not appreciating the fuel or the helping hands or the blessings that were placed in my life that are so easily overlooked. I, like many others, am just naturally inclined, if I'm not careful, to, well, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? I need to slow down, number one, and be deliberate. Maybe that begins every morning, making sure that I spend some significant time in prayer, reflecting on how my Father blessed me the day before and how much I'm going to need him in the day to come. What comes to your mind beyond that?
You know, I think of James chapter 1, where he says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." So James is being told by the Holy Spirit to say that these are joy, things to be joyful about. Even though they're difficult and they're hard, there's an end result and they're going to produce things in us. And so to be thankful for difficulties, to be thankful for trials, to be thankful for the storms of my life, because they may teach me things and adjust my character where the sunshine may never do that. And they may help me in ways that may never help me. So I made a short list here of just some things to be thankful for today in the midst of this pandemic that we're in. Number one, we're alive. We're alive. And as long as you're alive, there's options. There's a wonderful expression in the Old Testament, better is a live dog than a dead lion. As long as you're alive, you've got options, you've got choices, and you can do things. And you're alive. Now, you may be scared, you may be shut in, you may not be able to do what you want to do, but you are alive. And with that life, you can praise your God, you can grow as a Christian, there's things that you can do. Second thing, we cannot forget this, God loves you. He doesn't love you just when things are going well in your life. He loves you when things are difficult in your life. He loves you when you're going through the midst of a storm. He loves you when things are hard and you don't really know what to do. He loves Elijah when he was going through all those different places. He loves us. And that is powerful as we consider that. If you're a Christian, you got a church family. That is powerful. Sometimes our church family is closer and better to us than even our physical families. Church family that loves you, church family that cares for you, church family that wants you to succeed spiritually, a church family you can count on, a church family that supports you. Great things as we consider our relationship with brethren and our fellowship we have with each other.
How amazing that where we are right now in this part of the world at this point in time, I don't personally know anyone who has starved to death over the course of these last few difficult months. No one who had a home who is now wandering around the streets homeless. We live in times where there are so many different support systems. And the greatest of that for the Christian, of course, is our brethren, right? Where you and I know if a member of our church family were suddenly to lose everything in a house fire overnight, that person would have dozens of places to stay if that was necessary at a moment's notice, right? How thankful we ought to be that in the midst of some of the most difficult months many of us will experience in our lifetimes, there's still food. The sun is still shining. We still have pillows on which to lay our head. We are richly blessed.
I was visiting with my 94-year-old father on Saturday. And in his mail that day came the stimulus check, $1,200. He had not heard a thing about it. He said, why are they giving me money? And I tried to explain it to him. He said, you mean they're just giving me money? I said, yes, I guess so. And, you know, that's a Thanksgiving. I don't know how or who or when we're going to pay for all this, but, you know, just to help you out during hard times. And those are some things to consider. Now, from that, we it's easy to make a list. Okay, I need to be thankful for life. Need to be thankful that God loves me. Got a church fan. Great things to be thankful for. Now, how do I express Thanksgiving? Jason, what would you say?
Number one, I need to talk to God about it.
Got to say it. And again, when we go back to those 10 lepers, when the 9 did not come back, do you think they looked at their hands and say, oh, man, we're cleansed now. Oh, man, we got to go home. We got to go to work tomorrow. No, they were given life because leprosy was a death sentence. But they never came back and said it. And sometimes we can just assume, well, God knows I'm thankful. He wants you to say it to him. Say it in a prayer. Say it and express it that way. A second way I think we express our thanksgiving is by showing it, taking care of the blessings that God has given us. Take care of that life he has given you. Make your church family something that you honor and you cherish and you take care of each other. And you express that through your faith and your words and your attitudes. And then I think a third way we could do this is by just sharing that with others. You know, people sometimes will say, well, isn't this a nice day? Just put the little tag behind that. Isn't this a nice day that God has made? How you doing? I'm doing fine. Or I'm doing fine because I'm blessed by God. just sharing that you are thankful to God makes such a difference.
Our daily Bible reading program recently took us into the amazing letter to the Romans. And in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, the question is asked, do you presume on the riches of God's kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? That idea of presuming on is exactly what we're talking about, something that all of us as Christians need to realize. This is a part of trusting God. God's going to take care of us. Don't be ungrateful. Say it, show it, share it.
Absolutely. And then there are just layers and layers and layers of people of God that God is using to help us. All through this, we have shepherds, wonderful shepherds who are making very important decisions about when a congregation can come back together, how we keep things going, how we keep everyone connected, and we need to be thankful for that. How hard this would be if we were out there all by ourselves. How difficult that would be if we did not have shepherds. Be thankful for this time of technology we live in. There's been a lot of comparisons between what's going on now and the 1912 Spanish flu epidemic. But the difference is they didn't have technology like we have today. They couldn't do the things Jason and I are doing. So, you know, yeah, we can look at how bad it is, or we can look at how blessed we are. And again, that perspective makes all the difference.
I'm reminded as we close of 1 Thessalonians 5. I love these punchy statements toward the end of 1 Thessalonians 5. Great words to remember for the rest of the day. Verse 16, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Roger, any closing thoughts for the day?
Well, you know, we know the circumstances of Paul when he wrote that wasn't great. He wasn't sitting on the beach with the iced tea in one hand and just a pen in the other hand. He had been bounced around in and out of prisons. He'd been stoned. He had gone through some tough storms. But in every circumstance, not just mountaintops, but down in those valleys, not just in sunshines, but also in the rain, to be thankful for God. Because nothing has changed. God is still on his throne. Nothing has changed. And so my relationship should not be affected at all by what I'm going through.
Such a powerful trio there. Joy, prayer, and thanksgiving. We're thankful for you, and we're thankful for you listening. We would very much encourage you, if you are a member of our Charlestown Road Church family, pay special attention to the communications that are coming from our shepherds this week. Very important updates about this Sunday and what to expect and what's going on in the life of our church family. We're thankful for those godly shepherds who are leading us. And we would encourage you to continue to pray for them. Pray for them and their wives, their families. Pray for them by name. Express thanksgiving for them. Don't just hear that on this podcast, but thank God and then show them. I know that that would mean a great deal to them. It's hard for most to realize how many hours have been devoted to leading this church family through this storm, and we're certainly thankful for them. Roger, thanks for joining me today, and thanks to all of you for listening to this week at Charlestown Road. We're very much looking forward to Sunday. It is the best day of the week, and we encourage you to continue growing with us.